Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
I get a lot of requests for cuts, but never as many as I'm getting for Fight Club.
Yes.
Like your sister.
Yep.
Actually, your sister's cut
He's
is
up
featured,
today.
It's featured this morning. So
yeah.
Aaron's cut is fight is in the hopper for Fight Club today. But I've had so many people text me, email me, tweet me fights. It's amazing.
Just proof that Americans love a good car crash.
Yeah.
We can't take our eyes off of disasters.
Exactly.
Americans love action and conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jimmy Kelly says, fights equal ratings. 855-839-1210. All right, Cut Sheet 745 with Harry Mays. A couple of other stories to get to before we get there. But let's get to the news. Round number two at 705. The great Dawn Stenslin.
Yeah, good morning. As we're in June now, June the 2nd, we're looking at 55 degrees with a warm-up beginning in your forecast. So we do have crews searching for a man whose canoe had tipped over on the Schuylkill River. This is in the area of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. They searched until the wee hours of this morning. It went missing, apparently tipped over around 9 o'clock last night. And the emergency crews there were receiving many calls, 911 calls for a rescue here. So Chester County dispatchers say a canoe with two people inside had tipped over. One person was able to make it to shore. Another man who is in his 20s went under the water and did not resurface. So we know that those rescue crews from both Chester as well as Montgomery counties, along with Pennsylvania State Police, searching, into the wee hours of this morning, 2:30 a.m.-ish this morning, called off the efforts for the night, and they're expected to resume the search within the next 2 hours. We know this is around that Kime Street Bridge, if you're familiar with this area. Fast-moving waters, as Nick had pointed out earlier, you know, because of all the rain, we do have the waters, they're rising. Maybe they couldn't see the construction and all the pipes in that as they try to rebuild the Kime Street Bridge. And they believe that that was a mitigating factor here. But, you know, despite this valiant effort by all of these rescue crews coming in, they could not recover this young man who went under. Real tragedy here.
Not to take a shot at anybody, but it's... You know, when the weather's really bad and the tide is moving fast, whether it's the Schuylkill or the Delaware or the ocean, are you going to get into a canoe? I don't know. A canoe seems like a very unsafe thing to be in when, you know, water is rising as quickly as it's been. I mean, how much rain have we had in the last 10 days?
Yeah, a ton.
Yeah.
I think the big issue, the question I have is that I know for us, we love boating in our family.
So do I.
We always wear that orange, you know, some kind of a vest.
Yep.
No matter what you're doing, some people say, oh, it's uncomfortable, this and that. No, wear the vest because if, let's say, there are pipes or something unforeseen, you know, you have a boat tip over, whatever, you hit your head, that vest is going to keep your head above water.
Yeah, yeah. We always wore the safety vests when we were boating in Nashville on the lake, especially after you've been drinking. that vest comes in handy.
Yeah, it's so true. So we have, you know, all of that going on. We do have today in the news a lot of reaction as far as Governor Josh Shapiro is responding to what's going on with the attack that happened that we've been talking a lot about. That's the lead story nationally and locally here as Governor Josh Shapiro, who himself, he and his family, his wife and children at the governor's mansion. Of course, there was an act of, quote, domestic terrorism as the governor's mansion here in Pennsylvania was lit and set on fire in a case of so-called domestic terrorism within an anti-Semitic attack. Well, now we have the reaction from the governor as well as many officials locally, nationally. They're all condemning this horrible situation that's going on as we cover it and expect more information of that fiery attack on American Jews as an act of terrorism. According to the FBI, this happened in Colorado, injuring, now we know, a total of 8 people as this suspect screamed Free Palestine, used a makeshift flamethrower to set a crowd including elderly folks, senior citizens, one of whom we know has been identified as a Holocaust survivor. Some of these individuals who were set afire in critical condition this morning, the video footage is harrowing, and the alleged attacker, the FBI officials, have taken him into custody as he had gone on a tirade. He was captured on camera about Palestine and calling for death to, quote, Zionists before he tossed incendiary, you know, whatever that was, alcohol or some kind of fuel. He had tossed the containers at people. And this was a crowd of people who had gathered there in Boulder, Colorado, to remember and pray for the hostages that have been held for well over 600 days in somewhere in caves below Gaza.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you both MSNBC's website and CNN's website. Here's the headlines, Dawn. MSNBC.com, 8 injured in attack on Israeli hostage advocates in Boulder, Colorado. CNN.com, officials identified the suspect who injured 8 at a Jewish community event in Colorado. No mention of the identity of where the guy is from, and you do not see or hear the word terror or terrorism or terrorist attack in either headlines.
Or the fact that he was here illegally, right?
Or the fact that he was here illegally. You would just think that this is a, you know, random run-of-the-mill act of violence.
How many situations like this do we have to go through before, you know, the media sits up and takes notice? You know,
like, let me.
We're literally a week removed.
Yep,
literally a week removed from two Israeli ambassadors who worked at the embassy being gunned down in cold blood.
You want to do the weave like Trump likes the weave? I'm going to weave it for you perfectly. I'll answer your question with another question, and I'll flip it back to Dawn. How about this for the weave? When does Pennsylvania governor and fellow Jew Josh Shapiro go to battle and go to war, figuratively here, against his own party that screams about anti-Semitism, that is hell-bent on terrorizing Jews? Because here's what's going to happen. Josh Shapiro could very well have presidential aspirations, which I think he does. But eventually, it's going to come to a head, right? You're going to have the far left of the party, pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, butting heads with Josh Shapiro. When does... And Dawn, you mentioned Shapiro is speaking out because he is a victim of a Molotov cocktail, arson job himself. When does he just go scorched earth on the far left people in his party? Or will he not do that?
He's condemning the attack. That's a horrible attack, but not, to your point.
I want to see him and Omar and AOC just colliding on this issue because it's totally destroyed their party.
They're saying they're identifying the suspect as an Egyptian national and visa overstay.
Visa overstay.
Yeah, it's like when you stay at a party for too long. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yep. It's just like
overstay.
That. Yeah. Oh, he overstayed his welcome.
For well over 2 years.
Honey, it's 7:15. We got to get going. We've been here way too long. We were supposed to be out of here at 5:30.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a visa overstay.
Yes, we got that one going on.
Okay.
We have, by the way, the U.S. State Department has ordered all U.S. embassies and consulates to immediately begin additional vetting for anybody seeking a visa to travel to, quote, Harvard University for any purpose. So we have that going on as that's another headline.
By the way, these college campuses that the fact that they look, I am number one. My biggest issue is free speech. You guys both know that about me. I will defend that to the death. But you can't not see what's going on college campuses and say, hey, you know what? We have a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
When they say intifada and they say all this nonsense, they effing mean it.
Oh, yeah, they mean it.
They mean it. And it's playing out in the public square right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to do something about it.
These psychos think they're going to the afterlife by killing others and killing themselves in the process. They're willing to die for it. And we just don't. And by the way, more media analysis on Philly.com. Top two stories, nothing related to that Boulder story.
What?
Washington Post, Russia-Ukraine is the lead story.
Yeah.
New York Times, Russia-Ukraine, number one story. Yes, and Philly.com, the top two pictures, top two headlines about how Doge closed campgrounds at Pennsylvania's biggest lake, and five neighbors and 4 months later, how the Northeast Philly plane crash changed one street forever.
And by the way, don't come at me, because you know who you are. All these people that come at me, you guys are a bunch of Israel apologists. F you. F you. Look what's happening here. Turn it off. I don't need you or want you.
This is still the news, by the way.
Wow. So after a day, after many were calling this, you know, the Pearl Harbor for Russia, as Ukraine had conducted these strikes on distant Russian air bases. And so that's why they were calling these drone attacks as far as a Pearl Harbor situation, awaking the sleeping giant, meaning Russia.
Yeah, that's, I mean, let's not take our eye off this ball either.
Yeah, I know.
Because this is not, yes, they're calling it Pearl Harbor.
They're calling it massive drone attack. Deep inside Russia lays bare Putin's vulnerability. But remember, the two are set to have talks again today.
Oh, boy.
So this is in real time, this is all going on. There are differing accounts on the extent of the ensuing damage of yesterday's so-called spider web operation. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that 40 Russian aircraft, 34% of Russia's strategic cruise missile carriers, were struck. Ukraine's Secretary of Service put the estimated cost to the Kremlin at $7 billion. So Ukraine, I mean, this is their, you know, their media blitz as well as this drone strike. But many are watching this very carefully. They were set to have talks, peace talks, going on today.
They said that that they've been planning this for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
This Operation Spiderweb or whatever it was. So, but yeah, it's not great.
No.
It's not great right now.
Mm-mm. Whose media blitz was bigger, Russia, Ukraine, or Jake Tapper's book?
So it's not a pretty situation. So I know we'll talk about this moving forward, but just President Trump, as he was in Pennsylvania Friday, that's another big headline for us in Pennsylvania. What about U.S. Steel marking a deal that Trump says helped strike the deal between Japan-based Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel to bring in while keeping the steel manufacturer under U.S. control? President Trump taking that victory lap, but what does that look like as Trump also instills these 50% tariffs on other steel not made in the U.S.? So that's a real question mark here that we'll continue to look at. But it was a big victory lap Friday over the weekend, so a lot of union workers putting that out there, and Senator Dave McCormick as well was there and given credit for part of this negotiation. So we have that going on, which is nice. As far as our fills, we did lose 5-2 yesterday, and as well losing the sweep, swept by the Brewers, I should say. So not a good look for our Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in Rob Thompson. I thought they were going to run the table the rest of the year and not lose a game, not lose a series, but they faltered. It's a bad look. By the way, I was grocery shopping yesterday, and I ran into a guy in like aisle 3. I swore for a moment it was Brandon Marsh from the Phillies. He had the long hair.
Could've been.
He had the full beard. He was wearing a Phillies t-shirt and a Phillies fitted hat. Legitimately looked like Brandon Marsh. I walked up to him. I'm like, dude, you look like you're the center fielder for the Phillies. He's like, yeah, I get that every time. It's a good life.
Really?
He goes, yeah, it's a good life to live. And he starts giggling and walks by.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I like to socialize with the people when I'm at the grocery store. I'm not an AirPod guy.
People.
Leave me alone. Don't approach me. It's all about the interactions, the ambiance of the store. It's cathartic, Dawn. I feel good at the grocery store.
This moment, Nick at the grocery store.
That's right.
Is it Acme or Aldi?
Yes.
We take you inside.
Yes.
And, to look at the inside of the forecast, even though we're at 56 degrees-ish this morning, the sun is out, and I think Nikhil's going to give us what? An improving forecast?
Oh, that's right. All the people that said, Nick, ever since you started doing the weather sponsor and the weather read, the weather has been awful. What do you have to say now? 73 degrees today, folks. And by the way, I'm going to use a weather person terminology. Abundant sunshine. Mm-hmm. Abundant. That's right. Weather.com. Abundant. 73 is the high for today, 80s the rest of the week, and we might hit 90 on Thursday and on Friday. Weather sponsored by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. All right, that'll do it. Kale and Company News Live for round number two, hour two. We'll come back, get to the largest COVID study for children that you're not going to hear on mainstream media. That's coming up next, and then we get to the cut sheet with Harry Mays. And now we pivot to Piazza Auto Group. That's right. You've heard me talk a lot about their extensive crossover and their SUV lineup lately at Piazza, Mazda, and right now they have something for everybody. This is great. They are offering 1.9% financing on a litany of SUVs and crossovers. How about the capable CX-50? Or if you need more space, your wife, girlfriend, maybe wants the third row, try the CX-90. Everybody loves the third row these days. And also the CX-70 plug-in hybrid, the sleek Mazda CX-5, or the sporty CX-30. Those are available at 2.9%, all for 36 months. Shop with confidence at Piazza Mazda in Westchester or Reading, as current inventory remains unaffected by new tariffs. Visit PiazzaMazda.com today.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
I just want to mention this. This is a great point. This was actually made by Guy Benson, who does some stuff on radio and TV. He says, if a right-wing movement had burned down a governor's mansion, murdered two foreign diplomats, and firebombed kids and elderly people at a peaceful protest in the span of 2 weeks, what would the coverage look like?
Yeah.
What sort of national conversation would we be having? Staggering, right?
Mm-hmm.
But predictable. All right. Also, as far as predictable with what the media will not cover, will not talk about, and we don't even get a lot of these studies for some reason here in the United States. I think it's because we're just in bed with Big Pharma. But Stocker found this story last night from OutKick. Ian Miller is one of their writers. I think he only writes about COVID and like public health with the government and things like that. He is, I would say, borderline obsessed with COVID when it comes to vaccines, the masks, and everything from the last 5 years. But the headline is, COVID vaccines for children carry significant risks and few benefits. I just want to read a couple of highlights from this, and then we can get into this conversation. He writes the following. A massive study from a team of exceptionally credentialed researchers has once again confirmed that the push to give COVID vaccines to children during the pandemic and afterwards has carried huge risks with extraordinarily few benefits, particularly to healthy children. This new study with researchers from the University of Oxford, London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, University of Bristol, and the Department of Epidemiology goes on to write, is yet another example of how, quote, experts misled the public for years about the importance of COVID vaccines for younger age groups, particularly Dr. Anthony Fauci and former heads of the CDC and FDA. That misdirection continues today, even after the new administration altered its COVID vaccine recommendations. After that announcement, Dr. Paul Offit, who Dawn talks about, an FDA vaccine advisory committee member, went on a media tour lamenting that this change would lead to fewer children receiving COVID vaccines. Apparently, and unsurprisingly, he was unaware of what the evidence actually shows, writes Ian Miller. Now, this study, published with the approval of the National Health Service in England, used observational data gathered from the Open Safely TPP database on adolescents from age 12 to 15, and then the younger demo of age 5 through 11. The data was first used to compare individuals receiving their first COVID vaccination dose to those who were unvaxxed. They were then additionally used to make comparisons between those who'd received two doses and just one. Comparison groups were matched based on age, sex, region, and other, quote, important characteristics. The study outcomes were then determined when using positive SARS-CoV-2 tests for adolescents, emergency room visits, hospitalization with COVID-19, admission to critical care with COVID-19, and death. Thanks to using the NHS database, the study looked at 1 million children in England who fit the criteria. So what did they find about the efficacy of COVID vaccines? Well, as just one measure, there was quite literally zero benefit whatsoever in reducing the risk of a positive SARS-CoV-2 test, zero. After 15 weeks, the incidence rate between unvaccinated and single vaccine dose adolescents was nearly identical. Ian goes on to write and wrap up. Remember how the experts and their media partners and Big Pharma spent months, if not years, acting as if getting vaccinated would prevent infection and transmission amongst children? The parents getting their kids vaccinated would protect their grandparents by stopping the risk of passing the virus on to them. Turns out that was, once again, a complete fabrication. Another key takeaway from the study, the risk of severe outcomes from COVID for kids was virtually non-existent. As the researchers write, it wasn't possible to calculate the incidence rate ratio because COVID outcomes were, quote, too rare. Amongst 283,000 previously unvaccinated children and 132,000 who had received a first vaccine dose, COVID-19-related outcomes were too rare to allow IRRs to be estimated precisely. In fact, emergency room visits and unplanned hospitalizations were slightly higher amongst children who received the first vaccine dose relative to unvaccinated kids, though the rates were, quote, slightly lower amongst those who had a second vaccination dose. Look, I don't tell people how to parent. You do what you want with your child. You know, when it comes to these transgender surgeries and gender affirming care, we talked about the Penn story last week. Do what you want in your own house. I think it's ridiculous that you would put your kid, a minor, through gender affirming care. Once they're 18, I think they can do whatever they want. Same thing goes here with COVID. I'm not going to tell you whether or not you should vaccinate your kid. That's a you choice. But the studies that are out there that are conducted typically in England and in other nations on other continents, they all come back with the same results. And these stories, short of an outkick writer or perhaps a Fox News person or somebody on Talk Radio 1210, you don't get this information from CNN, MSNBC, your local news at night, your 10 o'clock news, 6ABC, Fox 29, you name it. And to me, it's just ridiculous that we're in this whole MAHA movement. Some of Bobby's stats are fabricated. Some of his sources don't even exist. But the agenda and the goal is to make America healthy again, right? Getting rid of dyes, getting rid of certain seed oils, which I'm all for. And I give Bobby Kennedy some credit for that. But if we're in this health movement in this country, shouldn't this be front page material? Aren't we always talking about leaving Earth better than we found it for our children? Yet we have all of this data out here that shows this shot for young, healthy people is basically worthless. Basically worthless. I had the first two shots in March and April of 2021. Never got a shot again. I've had COVID four times. Feels just like the flu. And if I got a booster, I don't think I would feel any different at 41 if I came down with the latest variant. It would feel like the flu. It sucks. You self-isolate, you lay in bed for 2 or 3 days, you sweat all over your sheets, you drink Pedialyte, and then you go back to work. Dawn, your thoughts on this? I know you've had Dr. Paul Offit on the show, correct?
Yeah, he's a local CHOP doc, and he was on the task force back during the first Trump administration, which was, you know, Operation Warp Speed. And so he was on that task force. He was involved in that. I will just say, you know, looking at emergency approval versus fully approved.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the Pfizer vaccine, the Pfizer vax for COVID is authorized emergency use in children ages 6 months to 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the reasons that I think a lot of parents were concerned about, you know, the fact that they were mandated to get a vaccine was that to my knowledge, even right now, it's approved for 12 and over, but it's still under quote unquote emergency use for 11 and under.
Right.
And so I think that's a big issue for a lot of parents is why did they have to mandate it? Or why were they highly recommended something that wasn't fully vetted for babies and children when you had all this? So you could take your study two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, so when I look at it, I say, well, on the good side of it, nothing bad happened to anybody. I mean, these are healthy kids. So we don't have any, on one hand, maybe they're saying, meh, they didn't really need it, apparently. But on the other hand, you don't see any negativity.
As far as like myocarditis or dropping dead.
If you had your child. I mean, the myocarditis was something that was, it was very rare.
Mm-hmm.
That was the listing.
Yeah. Percentage-wise, the odds of you having that are very small. Totally get that.
But we did get those reports, and I've been very honest in saying that there was a doctor in the area who told me that my teen sons at the time, and that I did not need a booster.
Right.
So we were Pfizered, as we say, but they said, you know, you and your sons, you don't get any boosters.
You're one of the healthiest human beings I know.
And that's what the doctor had said.
Right. Like, I know it's like, you know, amazing to just, you know, talk about things like, hey, if you take care of yourself, you know, you'll be just fine. If you eat healthy, if you're not overweight, if you don't smoke, if you don't drink, if you exercise, if you eat clean, I'm not even saying you have to eat organic, you know, self-care on a daily basis is one of the best preventative ways to get to the point where you don't need something like that. Again, I still have never, in 3 years, I've never seen Dawn eat. Still haven't. Just runs on coffee.
Yeah, because that's healthy.
And then you have the angle that they were talking about last week when McCary and Bhattacharya and Bobby came out and they took the recommendation off of the table. And I feel like the media slanted that terribly as well. They're not saying that if you are 5 to 11 years old or 12 to 15 years old or if you're a minor or if you're a parent that you can't get your kid vaccinated or boosted. They're just saying we no longer recommend it, right? You know, it's like, you know, when you have the dental approval, the American Dental Association on the toothbrush, right? Like it's, you've just lost, quote, the endorsement from this current administration that thinks healthy people probably don't need it because, you know, natural infection builds up some immunity, but that's not profitable. That's not going to make profit margins for Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and produce quarterly gains when they give out their revenue reports. And I'm not disparaging those. I want to make this really clear. If you are elderly, if you're obese, if you have multiple comorbidities, if you're dealing with a ton of bad luck and bad health, if you need that vaccine so that you can live your life, I got it. Like, I understand why those people, and I understand why a healthy person would want to take it. But the number is also astounding. Did you guys see, and maybe this number could be a little conflated because the source is Bobby Kennedy. So who knows if it's accurate or not? I will say that. That's a Bobby Kennedy disclaimer. I think by 17 months, children have 72 vaccinations. Is that correct? Or does that sound roughly, roughly accurate?
I don't know. I don't know the exact number, okay. But somebody who just went through this, you know, a couple of years ago, yes, there's a ton.
And that seems excessive, does it not? 70-plus vaccines a year and a half?
I trust my pediatrician, and I know everybody's going to blow up on you. But I trust my pediatrician.
Yeah. Man, that number just seems high. My God. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. Fire up the YouTube chat.
I'm on one this morning. Don't worry.
You have anything else you want to rant about? Anything else catching your eye?
Not yet.
He's saving it, folks. It's percolating. It's like the coffee in the old coffee pot dripping down through the filter.
Yeah.
855-839-1210. Harry Mays will join us coming up next for a Monday edition of the Cut Sheet, which we will hit right on time. I'm all about hitting things on time in June.
Wow.
I'm going to show you guys every segment on time.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Get up, Harry. Come on, let's go.
Oh, yeah, Kale and Company. It is a Monday morning. It is 7:45 right on the dot. Harry Mays is with us. What's going on, Harry?
Good morning. Great reference, Blue Chew reference on the Big Take this morning.
You like that? I even try to work in old clients to the Big Take from time to time.
That was terrific. But I was also listening a little earlier, and you are one of those weirdos that
I
try to avoid in the grocery store that is seeking conversation.
Amen, Harry.
Is that what I'm understanding here, Stocker?
It's not that I'm seeking the conversation. I just don't put up any advertisements that says conversation is off limits.
He's the guy, Harry, that you always avoid because they're making eye contact with you. Like,
of course.
Talk to me. talk to me. I'm like, no, please, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, I've got a question about this meat. Can you help? And almost like they're looking to everybody else in the store as if they work there, and they want to have a conversation. Like,
yeah.
I avoid you people at all costs.
Me too, Harry.
You avoid me when we're golfing together in the same cart.
Of course.
And it's true.
Exactly.
And it's true.
All right, let's get down to business.
That's an innate skill, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we have about 47 cuts, so let's find out what Stocker's going to lead us off with here at 7:46.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Monday? Sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice. I was just at Rita's Italian Ice last night. Rita's is making waves with new Kool-Aid and charcoal berry Finn Ice. Oh, yeah, with a fun mix of tropical fruit flavor in every bite. It's the must-try treat of the summer. Don't wait. Try Kool-Aid Charcoalberry Finn Ice at Rita's today. Be cool, eat at Rita's. I ate at Rita's. Well, my family ate at Rita's.
What did you do? Get like a soft pretzel or something?
I didn't partake, no.
Yeah, you just sat there like a...
I'm training. I'm in training for the bike ride.
Oh, yeah, you got the bike race.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Harry. All right. We started out with this, but it's the big story of the day. What happened in Boulder, Colorado, this psychopath... Don, do I still need to say alleged? The psychopath?
The suspect's in custody. He's alleged.
Okay.
Just call him the white man.
Accused.
Oh, Harry, if you don't hate the media, you will hate the media after. Like, just the most vile people in this media. Still don't know the description of the Fairmount Park shooting.
Nope.
But within 30 seconds of this, they're like, white man! Yep. White man!
Not terrorism, not an illegal alien, white man.
Yes.
All right, so he threw Molotov cocktails into a peaceful, pro-Israel, pro-bringing our hostages home. Threw a Molotov cocktail at people saying that, quote, this will end when Palestine is free and... is free and for us. Roll this. This is taken from a...
And for us? Well, we can't do anything without Molotov cocktails.
If you are fighting... You have to...
Yes. What he's got right here is Molotov.
First of all, bro, some sit-ups, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
You're going shirtless in Boulder. Alleged. You got to look better than that.
Yes. Shirtless in Boulder. That sounds like a bad flick.
Yeah, it's a good band.
I'll tell you this. Phil will cover that coming up two hours from now.
Right.
I'll just leave it at this, Harry. I am anti-throwing cocktails, and I am pro-consuming cocktails. So this guy just wasted a good cocktail for a terrible cause on the wrong side. And by the way, he's from Egypt. I want to know how he got here, how long he's been here, when he arrived. Was this during the Biden administration? And how is this guy still roaming our streets? That's what I want to know.
But he was described as a white man. Is that?
Yes.
Is that,
We'll get to that.
Okay.
White man.
All right.
And also, we have CNN saying that the FBI is juvenile for jumping to the conclusion that this is terrorism.
Juvenile.
And Jamie Raskin just making an ass out of himself. I mean, just. They all rush to TV and say the stupidest stuff.
Yes.
Here's a longer version of a cell phone video that somebody took of the alleged perpetrator. Roll this, Phil.
We're here. We can't do nothing about that. We can't do nothing.
We can.
Not here.
We have friends on this.
Not here, bro.
We are not.
I wish I had my gun with me. I'd do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why don't I see any police?
Well, you will in a second.
Okay.
One cop comes in.
Everybody's filming.
Yep.
I love that.
Stay away. He's right there. He's throwing Molotov cocktails. Right
and you can see, Harry, in this video, youtube.com/at1210WPH, you can see the person on the ground there. They're dousing him with water.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses said it looked like their skin was melting.
Oh, God.
You don't antagonize.
Yeah. Now we got Captain Lou Albano. He's still starting to spout off.
Captain Lou and a babushka.
Yeah, look at that guy. Yeah. Look at that guy. Size 14 XL on his shirt. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he have any rubber bands hanging off paper clips out of his cheek? Like old Captain Lou?
Yeah. And I love, too, how they run with the narrative of white man. Now, when you see him there, it looks like he's got a full head of gray hair. So until he actually starts speaking, you might be able to presume he's, quote, white man.
Right.
But
correct.
Once you pick up on the accent, you realize he's of Middle Eastern descent, which no longer qualifies you as white man. The media is just such an abomination. And by the way, I said this too about the cop hair. Like, I don't know, maybe a rubber bullet to the head, knock his lights out, maybe tase him. From what I watch, now, I don't want to take it out of context because it's a 63-second clip. But, you know, I've seen people detained more physically for shoplifting.
Yeah.
There was a time when I wanted to move to Colorado way back when. I quickly realized there were too many crazy white people out there. So I will have to say that.
Okay.
To stand up for the media. Maybe they just assumed it's just another crazy white person in
Colorado.
A lot
of stuff in Colorado the last 30 years, man. A lot of tragedies. Yeah.
Here's MSNBC calling him a white male. 32, Phil. 32.
MSNBC.
As far as the investigation itself, we're still trying to verify and confirm some video, but it appears to show a significant portion of the incident as it happened. There's an individual that's taken into custody. He's a white male. Whether or not that's the person that police ultimately arrested and will ultimately charge in this crime, a bit of a question at this time, but that's just what we've seen so far.
Well, they are so enamored with the identity of individuals.
Oh, yeah.
When they release the information, when they don't. Dawn gives it to us every day in the news with the shootings. Boy.
Except when it goes against their narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Again, we don't know the description of the shooters in Fairmount Park, but we knew within 36 seconds that this guy was a white man. A white man!
Now, law enforcement has identified the suspect as 45-year-old Mohammed Sabri Solomon.
Sounds like a white man to me.
Yeah, Mohammed.
An Egyptian national. Well, two things can be true at one time. If you see his pictures, he's a white man, but he's also here, according to law enforcement, as an illegal Egyptian national whose visa in 2 or 3 years ago had expired, yet he stayed here despite the fact that his visa expired.
See, that would be my headline.
Yes.
Illegal Egyptian national.
Yes.
Well, according to the U.S. Census
Bureau. You're racist, Harry.
Right.
I just did a quick Google search, and I typed in, what color are Arabic people considered? According to the U.S. Census Bureau.
Brown.
They are classified as white.
Really?
They are?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if you look at that gentleman, he's white.
I don't claim them. Ask me.
I don't claim anybody that's crazy of any gender, race, religion, or creed. I just want to be around nice, normal people. That's it.
I don't claim crazy people in the supermarket trying to talk to me.
I'm telling you, man, that guy looked just like Brandon Marsh. It was amazing.
Can I point something out as far as your Census Bureau?
Thank you.
Why does the Census Bureau take account of and ask us about our ethnicity? It seems as if they do it so that they can promote racism. Isn't it racist to say, what are you?
Yes.
That's
my whole point with this is that we pick and choose when it fits a narrative to overemphasize the description, everything else. But when it doesn't, we don't.
That is
the level of hypocrisy. And by the way, when you check boxes and stuff like that, isn't there a box for like Middle Eastern or something like
sometimes,
that?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's different than white.
Right.
I've seen both,
not necessarily. Two things can be true at once. So that's the bizarre thing about this. They should never say, are you white? Because I'm not white.
I mean, where do we draw the line, right?
I'm like Vanilla Peach.
Vanilla Peach.
Yeah. With a little cocoa.
Miss Peaches.
Don's Vanilla Peach.
Sometimes. Yeah. Like Vanilla Peach.
Yeah. Right. It's the spring flavor. Man. Vanilla Peach.
Vanilla Peach.
Sounds like something you get at Rita's.
By the way, the Rita's in Huntington Valley has more flavors than any other Rita's.
I know. Have you seen how big the menu is now?
It's amazing.
Remember when Rita's was like first the thing in the late 90s? There was chocolate custard, vanilla custard, and like three ice flavors. Yes.
Lemon is so good.
Now
so
there's like 35. Yeah. There's more flavors than Stocker has clips on the cut sheet.
Yeah.
But has Robert F. Kennedy Jr. approved of all of them?
Well, you got to take out the dyes, man.
The colors.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
29 here, Phil. The FBI confirms the suspect in the Colorado terrorist attack yelled, "Free Palestine," but we don't know if it's terrorism. We don't know if it's terrorism.
Right.
The FBI confirmed this at 6:46 yesterday, 6:46 p.m. At 9:15, the geniuses on CNN were still debating whether it was terrorism or not.
Right.
Let's roll this.
Takes. We're early in the investigation, but some details have emerged. I'm able to confirm there are six victims, ages 67 to 88. All of them have been transported to local hospitals. This attack happened at a regularly scheduled weekly peaceful event. Witnesses are reporting that the subject used a makeshift flamethrower and threw an incendiary device into the crowd. The suspect was heard to yell "Free Palestine" during the attack.
There we go.
The subject has been identified as Mohammed Sabri Solomon, and he's 45 years old. The FBI is processing the crime scene and the subject vehicle and interviewing key witnesses. We're assisting Boulder Police and providing technical, analytic, and additional forensic resources.
There you go.
I mean, Dan Bongino, Kash Patel, FBI number two, FBI number one, they've deemed it terrorism, but MSNBC thinks that's a little premature.
CNN, actually, this was the panel on CNN, this is 35. They were just, and Andrew McCabe and, you know, this other genius here says that the FBI looked juvenile for calling it terrorism. Roll this.
I'm going to be quite direct here. The FBI director and deputy director got way ahead of where the local police were. The language that the FBI used in their tweets included words like violence, targeted terrorism, and violent.
Yeah.
They got ahead of where the local police knew where the investigation was. I know. I want to just make it clear here. This could have been an anti-Semitic attack.
Could have been.
It was.
Which is terrifying. Maybe. In particular for people in the community. We don't know that.
No, of course.
Because the Boulder police officer, at least according to the Boulder police officer, they're not sure if the people injured were people at the Jewish rally,
you
the
don't
Jewish
hate
gathering.
These people
now, maybe
enough.
Others in organizations know that. We know ADL and other organizations have been out on this. Maybe they have more evidence. But one of the reasons why, you know, Andrew and I are careful in situations like this is because lots of people are saying lots of things. But when the Boulder police chief comes out and says, we don't have 2 + 2 = 4 yet. In other words, this is obviously an anti-Semitic attack and the victims were obviously part of that group. Therefore, we're not calling it terrorism. It adds a lot of it's not good for the community. It's not good for the potentially targeted community. It makes law enforcement look disorganized, and it makes the FBI look so juvenile. Like, why are you getting ahead of the police chief?
First of all, the FBI can take jurisdiction over any local agency. That's number one, numbnuts. Number two, let's change the variables here. Since we're so cautious about throwing out the label terrorism, let's change the suspect. Let's say he's not.